Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and my guest this week is Dr. Lindsay Maggio, Division Director of Maternal Fetal Medicine at JFK University Medical Center. Good morning, doctor. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you are the Division Director of Maternal Fetal Medicine. For those who have never heard that term before, could you explain?
Sure. So maternal fetal medicine is also sometimes referred to as perinatology or high-risk obstetrics. And so we work hand-in-hand with obstetricians and helping them manage any sort of complications that are above and beyond the usual routine.
Above and beyond the usual routine. What does that mean? Meaning if there's an issue of some sort or just every day?
It could mean a number of things. It's pretty varied what we do, but it could mean a pregnant person who has underlying health conditions that can affect their pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It can mean a pregnancy that's complicated by a genetic abnormality or congenital anomaly. So it sort of runs the gamut of both of those lines.
Now, would a patient come to you pre-pregnancy?
Yeah, sometimes. So, I mean, every situation is unique, but we certainly see patients preconceptually, especially if they have underlying issues or medical complications from the past and want to either A, understand what their risk looks like in pregnancy, or if they want to sort of optimize their health prior to getting pregnancy. So we do work in that capacity. It's a very small part of what we do, but we definitely do that.
So preconception is not something that you deal with regularly. What would be the most common situation?
Yeah, so the most common situation is a patient's pregnant, they see their regular OBGYN, the regular OBGYN identifies any number of possible problems or complications and decides, hey, we need to get MFM involved to kind of help guide us, make some recommendations, co-manage or whatnot. So patients are usually initiating with us towards the end of the first trimester.
Okay, and then what are some of the situations, what would be, I guess, the most common situation that you would come into with the mother and the fetus?
Yeah, so the most common maternal conditions that we see are things like advanced maternal age, so anyone that's going to be 35 years old or greater at their due date, people that have underlying diabetes prior to pregnancy or hypertension. Those are probably the three most common complications or diagnoses that we manage as far as maternal complications go. And then the fetal complications and problems that we see, often those don't arise until someone is in the middle of their second trimester and mm-hmm. things are discovered on their anatomy ultrasound, and then they're usually referred to us at that time for another opinion to take a look at the ultrasound, see what's going on, and go from there as far as how to manage the rest of the pregnancy.
I would imagine that you deal with a lot of nervous parents because when they get to you, there's an issue, right? Usually.
Yes. I would say for a large percentage of patients, nobody wants to be told they need the high-risk doctor. So even for things that may not seem all that high-risk, people typically have underlying, I would say anxiety or nervousness about, you know, what are they going to say? What are they going to find? So even if everything's totally fine and we get to give good, happy news, people are usually, they walk in our doors a little worried.
Right. So they come in your door worried and they're like, why do I need, my friends never saw anybody with maternal fetal medicine before. Is that something that they've already discussed with their OBGYN or is that something that you do?
No, it's typically something we do. I mean, I imagine the obstetrician, you know, tells them, hey, this is going to increase some risks. I want you to see the high-risk doctor and they'll go through this in more detail with you. So they usually have an underlying understanding that, you know, they're going to get a more comprehensive conversation when they come and see us. But that really is the bread and butter of what we do, sort of identifying, you know, what could possibly happen, how likely those things are to happen, what we're going to do to monitor for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you deal with the, I mean, it's, I can just put myself in that place. You know, I'm in there with my wife and we're labeled high risk and then we're coming to speak with you. How do you set, you know, parents at ease in that situation?
So that's a hard question to answer because it's very different for every single encounter. Just, I mean, people handle bad news differently or good news differently. Mm-hmm. You know, my personal approach is I try and kind of see what the patient needs and allow them to sometimes not necessarily lead the conversation, but to kind of give me the input as to what information they are most needing to hear at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, a lot of our bread and butter is stuff that we can manage really well. And so that also helps alleviate a lot of the anxiety when people hear that this is not, you know, we're able to manage this, we can get this controlled, we can minimize your risk. And that usually helps people feel much more comfortable and at ease with the rest of their pregnancy management.
Yeah, you mentioned there's multiple reasons one would come to see you. The most common one, and what's usually, I don't want to ask you, what's usually the outcome there when it comes to treating patients with, I don't know, they have genetic conditions, there's so many things, correct?
Yes, there are so many things, and it's really, I mean, it really just depends on what that is for our moms that, you know, have diabetes and have high blood pressure. You know, we have lots of medications we can use to control mm-hmm. them and improve outcomes from that standpoint. So those maternal conditions typically have favorable outcomes, but, you know, unfortunately, that's not always the case in our line of work, especially when we're talking about certain genetic conditions
right.
and abnormalities. There's not always the happiest of endings.
In regards to the genetics, is that something that they usually find out after they've become pregnant, or is this something that they go into knowing that there's a possibility?
So the majority of the time, it's something unknown until genetic testing is done or ultrasounds are done and there's abnormalities seen. Mm. For some families who may have experienced it in a prior pregnancy, they have the opportunity to do testing before another pregnancy, or if there's something known to be inheritable that both parents carry, they can, you know, have the opportunity to also meet with infertility specialists and do, they can do pre-implant, genetic testing on embryos if they go down an in vitro fertilization route to mm-hmm. obtain pregnancy. So there are ways to know ahead of time if you know ahead of time, but the majority do not.
We're talking with Dr. Lindsay Maggio, Division Director of Maternal Fetal Medicine at JFK University Medical Center. Now, we talked about how you're dealing with the patients. Let's talk about how you deal with the obstetricians. When you interface with them, is it something that, is this on a regular basis concerning one particular patient, or is it they're referred to you and then you just send your findings back to them and it's kind of back and forth?
Yeah, it depends. Everything's really individualized to what's going on with the patient and the clinical circumstance. But for the most part, when patients see us, you know, our reports outline everything we've talked about and our recommendations sort of in a bullet point format that gets sent back to the obstetricians for them to have and to reference. If it's someone we're co-managing and seeing on an ongoing basis, we're doing that frequently. If it's something more concerning or urgent, I have great relationships with the obstetricians that refer, and I pick up the phone and call them and let them know what's mm-hmm. going on. So it really just depends on what's going on at that time.
Okay. Well, could you take us through, like, one situation? Maybe you can give us something that's happened to a patient, obviously no names, and what they were diagnosed with or what have you, and then, you know, step by step how you and the obstetrician or the GYN dealt with it together with the patient.
That's
a hard one.
There's a lot to choose from. I certainly don't want to choose something that could be identifiable for anybody. I'd say probably, you know, one of the more common like fetal conditions we see is sometimes a small obstruction somewhere along the urinary tract, and we can see extra fluid accumulating within the kidneys of the baby. And it's pretty common in the majority of these that resolve before babies are born, but, you know, we communicate that in our notes. And we also communicate that with our pediatric and neonatal colleagues so that they're prepared to make sure the baby gets the care it needs after it's born to either confirm the obstruction if it's still there, if it's gone away. And in severe cases, we often will help facilitate the parents meeting with a pediatric subspecialist ahead of time so that they can learn what their baby's going to need after birth and ongoing throughout the first couple months, couple years of life, if anything. And then they're sort of already plugged in for the baby to establish care once the baby's born. We can coordinate that whole gamut of care for patients that need it.
Okay, so you said a pediatric subspecialist. Once the baby is born, is that the end of your interaction dealing with the patient, or does that continue?
No, for the most part, once the baby is born, that's sort of where our care ends. There are some maternal complications that can happen after the delivery that we sometimes get involved in. But for the most part, after delivery, our involvement is over until the next pregnancy.
Just get the your job is to basically a healthy baby.
Yeah, healthy mom, healthy baby.
Healthy mom, healthy baby. Right. Can you give us an idea of what your day-to-day is like? Can you tell us about your staff?
So we're a pretty small unit. There's one other physician, Dr. Singh, that works with me, and we have a couple of nurse practitioners that support us as well. And we sort of share, I wouldn't say anybody is like a particular patient of any one of us, but we sort of share in the patients for our entire group. On a day-to-day, we're seeing about 30 patients coming in for ultrasounds and some of them having consultations known ahead of time and sometimes with findings that are unexpected. And so we all collaborate and work together and making sure all the patients are seen and taken care of and given the time that's needed for them to understand everything. And even if it's just everything looks really good, we don't need to see you again. Those are some of my favorite conversations.
Oh, great. So they're not necessarily coming to you because there's a problem. They're coming to you just as like to get checked out and give the A-OK. Sometimes
yeah,
it's
we
as
do
simple
a lot
as
of
that.
Our we do a lot of just the basic ultrasounds for even the low risk pregnancies, just checking the baby's anatomy and some of the genetic screening ultrasounds. So not everybody that's coming to our unit necessarily has a high risk problem, but we are doing the diagnostic portion with the ultrasound. Mm-hmm.
So you do the ultrasound, and if there is something found, how is it, or is the patient notified right away or on the spot?
Yep.
You said, we looked at your
right
ultrasound
away.
And here's what we found.
Yep. Right away on the spot, given that information, given the time to, you know, talk about it, understand it, and then any other referrals that need to be made that come out of it. Like I, you know, mentioned before, if we need them to see a pediatric subspecialist or see our neonatologist ahead of time, if we know it's someone that may need to be delivered preterm. So we facilitate all of that at that visit at that time. It doesn't all happen that day, but we, you know, start working on all of it.
But the parents know that day if you find something and what it is and what needs to be done eventually.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Correct. So that's got to be stressful as well, not just for the patient, but for you, having to deliver that news?
Yeah, I, I don't know if it's stressful, but it's okay. definitely, it's definitely part of our day to day and what we do. So,
can you give us an example of something? You know, I hate to give an example because you don't want anybody to think you're talking about them. But I'm just trying to get an idea. If I come in and then you find something, come in with my wife and you find something in the ultrasound, how we would receive that news.
Yeah, so we have, consultation rooms. So we usually bring the patient to a separate space where it's just the patient and whoever their support person is, whether it's their partner or sometimes they come with family members or sometimes they're alone. And depending on who's, working or seeing that day, sometimes the nurse practitioner's involved from the get-go as well. And so we sit down in a room and I'll review their entire history with them just to make sure there's nothing else that may be contributing or may change how I want to manage their care. And then, we talk about what we see and talk about what it means and talk about different options for different possible testing. If that's, if it's indicated, if genetic testing is indicated or other types of testing. And I really just give people the space to have as much time or information as they need. And some people need lots of information right away, and some people don't want all the information right away. And so, we bring them back in a timely manner to continue the conversation.
Now, I would imagine there's a lot of people listening who never heard of this maternal fetal medicine, because I guess they didn't have to deal with it when they were pregnant or they haven't even had a baby, right? So how long has this been around? When did this start?
Oh my goodness, that's a really good question. But I don't know the exact date, but as a
well, I don't mean the exact date. Was it a Tuesday?
It's been around several days last week, several decades.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So it's been around for a while. What are some of the advancements through the years that you know of or that you've seen during your practice?
Yeah, so I think probably ultrasound technology is one of the greatest advancements in all of obstetrics, but really for what we do with maternal fetal medicine, our ultrasound technology has just gotten so good compared to what it was, 40 years ago, where we could basically say, okay, there's a baby in there and not much more, whereas now we're able to see all these intricate structures of the heart. Like some of the ultrasound technology is so good at looking at blood flow and small blood vessels in the heart and the brain. It's really amazing what that tool can do. And I think that's really changed our practice. And then another piece of what maternal fetal medicine does, which we're not doing here specifically at JFK, but there are lots and lots of fetal interventions that can be done. And a lot of these procedures are done with ultrasound guidance. For example, if a baby has fluid on its lungs, we can go in, drain the fluid off the lungs, and put a shunt in so that fluid drains out of the lungs. We can do that when there's a bladder obstruction and the urine is not exiting the body. We can put a shunt in the bladder. Babies sometimes need transfusions. We can do that. And so all of these procedures are done with ultrasound guidance. And so I think our ultrasound technology has not only improved our ability to diagnose abnormalities much earlier on or at all, but also our ability to do a lot of in utero treatments for fetuses that have complications.
That's amazing. How long have you been able to do that, perform, and correct me if I'm saying it wrong, perform surgery on an unborn baby?
So, these procedures have been around for as long as my career has been. And
wow.
I finished medical school in 2008, so I'm still probably pretty mid-career. But and then there are not done at JFK, but just in our field, there are facilities throughout the country that are even doing like what we call fetoscopic procedures, where they're using a camera and going into the uterus and babies that have neural tube defects. There are centers that are operating on these babies and fixing their neural tube defects before they're born, which shows, you know, that they have improved neurologic outcomes. So there's really fascinating stuff done in our field at, you know, not specific to JFK, but just in the field of maternal fetal medicine.
Yeah, the advancement of ultrasound, you said, because, you know, when my youngest were born 19 years ago, we got, you know, black and white, fuzzy, look like on fax paper of the of the ultrasound. And now it's almost like a portrait, right?
Yeah, some of the images, yeah, and there's digital technologies now that we can, you know, we don't utilize them here at JFK, but there are some digital platforms that can send images so that they're not on that black and white printer paper. But even our 3D technology,
right, the 3D.
Has come a long way as well, and so it really, which is nice for patients to, you know, it's always nice to kind of get that 3D picture of the baby so you can see what your baby looks like before the baby's born.
Yeah, that's amazing. For now, can you do an ultrasound of a picture like that, a 3D picture, and you still not know what the sex is?
Yes, we can, okay. Just not. Well, we always have to look because we need to confirm that the structures are normal.
Sure.
But yes, we can absolutely not disclose that information to the family if they don't want to know that information. And most of the 3D images we're taking for patients are, you know, of the baby's face and not of other parts of the body. Although we can do 3D images of any part.
Okay, so the headshot, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And they can use it on their passport when they're born. How convenient is that?
That I don't know about.
That I don't know about. They didn't teach you that one.
Doesn't have the blue screen behind it, so I'm
not
sure.
Right. We have a couple of minutes left. We're talking with Dr. Lindsay Maggio, Division Director of Maternal Fetal Medicine at JFK University Medical Center. What are some of the common challenges that you face in your field? You've been doing this for well over a decade. What have you seen through the years that are most challenging for you and your staff and your coworker? You know?
I think the challenges for us are not necessarily unique to our field. I mean, I think healthcare has lots of challenges for patient access and, you know, and, you know, cost. And so I think that really is challenging in that sometimes the things we want or need to do can't always happen or can't happen timely because we're, you know, having to work with insurance companies or having to work with, you know, social determinants. Sometimes people have transportation. And so I think a lot of our struggles are not necessarily unique to our field per se, but just healthcare in general.
Okay. So before we wrap up, if you could just let us know if somebody wants to reach out to you. Well, let me ask you this. If someone's listening now and they feel like, you know what, I want to be extra careful. I want to go see someone, MFM, and just make sure everything's okay before we decide to get pregnant. What do you recommend?
So the first point of contact is to have that conversation with their OBGYN, who would refer them in to see us. And so whether if it's a conversation prior to pregnancy or if they're already pregnant and concerned, and then their obstetrician would give them a referral and to be able to come and see us.
Okay, so they would never come to you directly?
Typically not.
Dr. Lindsay Maggio, Division Director of Maternal Fetal Medicine at JFK University Medical Center, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was great having you. For more information, go to jfkmc.org. For a podcast of the show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we'll talk again next week.